to live rap.
You, my dear, might not come back.
You, my dear, might not come back.
And don't count on those benefits.
And don't count on those benefits.
I'll leave you flat if you get sick.
I'll leave you flat if you get sick.
A child from my high school got sent off to Iraq. He got shot in the head. He's never coming back. I didn't really know him, but I know a lot of kids who saw themselves as soldiers whose fate may be like his. It makes me think of high school and the kids who walked the halls, and I wonder how many of them went off to heed the call, who closed their eyes so quickly and bought the myth of war, the promises of honor, or a heart that beats no more. I think about the hallway that was right outside the gym. I think about the doorway there with students coming in, right by the cafeteria where lunch was every day, where the army had their table and gave free pens away. I saw those pens a lot. Be all that you can be. Murder a couple families and won't pay for your degree. They always mention money as if soldiers come home rich. They tricked you into killing, and you fell for it. I remember all the times when I saw that table there, and I cursed myself to think that I never made it clear that this is not normal, this is not normality. Hold on, I'm forgetting my lyrics, so just roll with me for a second. This is not normality, it's not another trend. It's soldiers in my hallway murdering my friends. Now I say it clearly, wishing I was there. Fuck you, recruiter, stop targeting my peers. It's not my war to fight it, and neither is it yours. You're sending kids like me to die in other people's wars. So stop and think, my friends, next time you see Marines talking to your classmates, think just what it means. Cause soldiers are not heroes. Let's make it clearly known. They're kids like you and me whose hearts and minds were overthrown. Don't be scared of anything. Please take this advice. If they start talking to your classmates, stand your ground and fight. And don't be fooled by fables that the textbook authors type. Their wars are fought for profit, not for people's rights.
Yeah!
Today. I really want to begin by giving a salute to the Campus Anti-War Network. I think that a lot of people don't realize that across this country, at dozens of campuses and high schools, that the movement against the recruiters on the campus and the movement to stop this war is being fought every week and every day by students just like you at dozens of campuses across this country. So I'd like to everybody give a big round of applause to the Campus Anti-War Network. I'm just going to say a few things. Which is this. The Solomon Amendment, which is being heard in the Supreme Court today, to be honest, I don't have a lot of hope that Chief Justice John Roberts and the rest of the court is going to see it our way. That I think that this court is actually probably going to institutionalize and uphold discrimination. And that is a shame. That makes a mockery of what democracy is supposed to be. But that's why it's so important that we don't rely on the courts, that we don't rely on the politicians, that we get out and build a people's movement to stop this war. That's the only thing that stopped wars in the past. The only thing that stopped the Vietnam War was millions of students going on strike, was hundreds of thousands of U.S. soldiers refusing to fight, and was the people of Vietnam themselves saying, we don't want the colonizers in our country any longer. And those same three things are shaping up today in the United States in the occupation of Iraq. It is plain as the nose on your face that the people of Iraq do not want the United States there. We are now engaged in a colonial war for occupation for the oil companies. Their profits last quarter were through the roof, and everybody's paying it through the nose at the pumps. But the people who are really paying the price for George Bush's invasion and the bipartisan support for this war are the troops who are dying. 2,100 American soldiers have died so far. There'll be 3,000 dead by next Christmas if nothing changes. And 100,000 Iraqi people have paid for Congress and George Bush's wars with their lives. We in this country have to recognize that that is the basic reason why the people of Iraq do not want the American army in their country and why they are resisting to get it out. That's the first reason that's the first way that this war is going to end. The second way is we are seeing dozens, and I believe that soon it will become hundreds, of American soldiers who are refusing to fight. They're refusing to go back to Iraq. There's Camila Mejia. There's Catherine Jashinsky. How do you say her name, Amy?
Jashinsky.
Catherine Jashinsky, who is the first woman soldier to refuse to go to Iraq. People like Pablo Paredes, who served hard time in San Diego, hard labor, rather than go back and fight in Iraq. There are dozens and there will be hundreds of soldiers who are refusing to fight. But even beyond the ones who are refusing to fight right now, I believe that there are tens of thousands of American soldiers who are currently in Iraq who are thinking to themselves, what in God's name are we doing here? And how long is our president and our Congress going to keep us here? How many more lives is Dianne Feinstein and the Democrats and the Republican supporters of this war, how many more lives, Iraqi and American, are they willing to spend for BP and Exxon and Shell and Mobil? So the American troops, I believe, are beginning to say, enough is enough and we want to come home. That means that our part of the anti-war movement has to get stronger. If we want our soldiers to refuse to fight, if we want to bring our troops home, and if we want to stop the killing of Iraqi people, then we have to multiply by tens and hundreds of times the number of people in this country in the streets. The students have to take a leading voice in the anti-war movement. I believe that students right now have a strategically important role to play, that we've had mass mobilizations that happen every 6 months, and those are very, very important. On March 18th in this city, there'll be 100,000 or 200,000 people in the streets to mark the third anniversary of the invasion. Everybody should turn out to that protest. But the war cannot be stopped simply by mass mobilizations every 6 months. Every campus, every high school, every community has to say no to the military recruiters. We will not permit you to take more of our brothers and sisters, of our husbands and wives, of our mothers and fathers to kill and die for this war in Iraq. We need to create a massive movement in this country, and the students and youth of this country have to be the people who lead it. When you think of the anti-war movement in Vietnam, what do you think of? You think of Kent State. You think of the student strikes. You think of the student movement. Students in this time, in this generation, must stand up and make history for themselves, because it is you and your brothers and sisters who they're going to take for this war, and it is your right and your responsibility to not be told by anybody what to do. You, as students and youth, have to lead this anti-war movement. So once again, I just want to salute the Campus Anti-War Network for the great work they're doing.
Let's get, this time for real, we have Forrest from Answer. You go, Forrest.
I was just deeply pondering what I was going to say, knowing I had 4 or 5 or 10 minutes to figure it out, and then all of a sudden, Forrest, you're on. A few years back, I was on my high school campus, having screwed around a little too much, not knowing how I was going to get into a decent college, how it was going to be paid for, what I was going to do with my life, what I was going to do to pay rent, and along came these recruiters. One had an office. There was not decent classrooms or textbooks or any of the other services students needed, but there was plenty of resources to have a recruiter have an office. And many people were in the same situation to me. Maybe it was more the job training for one person, maybe it was more the college money for another, maybe it was more doing something with your life for another or adventure for this person. But so many of my senior class joined the military and ended up in the same military unit. Then from Edison High School, we jokingly referred to the military unit, we ended up in as the Edison Brigade. And all of those people, without an exception, within months of joining, could confidently and angrily say they were lied to by the recruiters. In basic training, the drill sergeants would even joke about it, asking people, who here has been lied to you to about the recruiter? And maybe a third of the people would raise their hand, and they say, these are the smart ones. The rest of you just haven't figured it out yet. The military, it seems only fitting that through criminal conspiracy, this war has been initiated, that it's been a criminal war with the torture of civilians, with the use of white phosphorus, with the carpet bombing, this criminal war. It seems also fitting that the recruiters should be criminals themselves, defrauding students, defrauding young people into the military, into this racist institution in which they will be denied everything they've been told that they're joining for, risking their lives, risking being maimed and being psychologically scarred for the rest of their life, and most importantly, destroying lives overseas, destroying communities, destroying entire countries. And that's an important thing not to forget, not to be a victim of our own success, in that we have been from the beginning, a voice against the war. So many students, so many organizations, as the Republican Party, as the Democratic Party, stood monolithically for the war. Who could be more pro-war, competing with each other? Who was more for killing more people in the Middle East? And the Republicans and the more right-wing ones would point at this Democrat or that Democrat and say, that person isn't as pro-war, isn't as much for killing as I am. They're like the demonstrators. They're like the protesters. They're anti-war. And the Democrats would say, no, 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 I'm not anti-war. Well, the people of the United States for years have seen that. They've seen the fingers pointing at the anti-war movement saying, they're the ones who are against the war. And now the people of the U.S. are against the war. And now a responsibility is on our shoulders that wasn't there maybe 2 years ago or a year ago. Because now we can say the people are on our side.
Get up! Get down!
Okay,
there's an anti-war movement in this town! Get up! Get down! There's an anti-war movement in this town! Get up!
The parents demand that students, our rights are respected, that an organization whose fundamental policies are about violence, when we're told, we tell our kids, don't hit, use your words, the fundamental job of the military is to use violence as a way to solve problems, and that is not the message that we want to share with young people. We want our institutions of education, from our elementary all through the universities, to be a place where students have an opportunity to think and consider their point of view, an opportunity to pursue their education and to think about the world, not in shades of black and white, but in shades of gray, to learn to look at the world and to be creative about ways to solve not only their interpersonal problems, but the world's problems. That's the way to build the next generation. And so we in the counter-recruitment movement, those of us who are involved in education and counseling, like myself and many others here, who counsel high school and college students, those of us who pursue to earn a chance, stop feeding them to a machine that turns them into killers and destroys their lives, physically, emotionally, and mentally. And I can tell you, because I work with soldiers every day, that there is not one young man or young woman that comes out of the military experience without being changed in a fundamental way, and that those of us who join the military and become conscientious objectors know how hard it is when they get you at 17 or 18 to regain your humanity and to fight for peace. So I believe in duty, and I believe in honor, and I believe in responsibility, and I'm exercising it here today to say that the military recruiters should not be allowed to bring their discriminatory and violent, vile practices to our institutions of learning, and we as a people must stand strong against it.
Thank you, Amy. Wrapping it up, we're going to have Karen Canola from the Campus Anti-War Network. And come on, Karen.
I'm a student at San Francisco State University, and I'm here today representing Students Against War, a chapter of the Campus Anti-War Network. CAN is the largest and leading independent democratic grassroots network of students opposing the occupation of Iraq and military recruiters in our schools. As we draw nearer to the 3-year mark of this atrocious occupation and war in Iraq, the imperialistic aims of the United States lay exposed for all of us to see. Well over 2,000 American soldiers have died, in addition to the over 100,000 Iraqi dead. The majority of this country thinks U.S. presence in Iraq is flat out wrong. George Bush and the military lied to the American people to get us in this war, and they're lying to keep us in it. As the occupation of Iraq spirals out of control, no foreseeable end in sight, the military is desperate to fill its ranks with high school and college students. They're desperate to find warm bodies to fight this illegal and immoral war. We're here to say that we'll not stand idly by as military recruiters invade our campuses trying to recruit the working class and poor minorities with false promises of job training, education, and benefits. We will not step aside as a notoriously homophobic and sexist institution tries to pollute our educational environment, a place of tolerance and respect. And we will not stand by as students are coerced to go senselessly kill and be killed. The military doesn't care about our education. It doesn't want to provide us with job training or health benefits either. The military is here only to manipulate and lie. They're here to tell us when and where to die. The 4 billion a year devoted to military recruitment should instead be spent on real educational job opportunities. The money should reinstate programs that are rapidly being cut and lower tuition fees that are steadily rising. The Solomon Amendment, a coercive measure that threatens to take federal funds from any educational institution that denies military recruiters access, should be struck down by the Supreme Court as obviously unconstitutional. Further, our schools should have the courage to rightly shut out a warmongering institution that so clearly violates anti-discriminatory policies. We demand college, not combat. We demand an immediate war, an immediate end to this unjust and terrible war. Thank you.
This is about the war. So here's like an interesting thing that just happened that is just another like flash in front of our eyes that things are completely screwed up and we're being lied to. You can now bring box cutters back on airplanes. What? Just think about that. It's kind of like when Bush said, oh, Bin Laden's not the enemy anymore. Now it's Saddam Hussein. It's like, whoa, what changed? The war is over. That's what they say, and they're making sure the media presents it all that way. You see, they've learned from the war in Vietnam that you don't ever let the people see what's really going on. Some say they blundered. They call it a mistake as if they'd thrown a bottle down and didn't think that it would break. They didn't fail. There was no contest. They planned to colonize and conquer. They made complete success. Victims' families search for answers in the dust. There's recruiters in the high schools building up trust. It's a story that you've heard so many times. Children marching off the battle for collective suicide. They're fooled by glory, embracing patriotic myth. Now there's 2,000 dead troops who started out like this. And what for? To be buried by your friends. Politicians will use any means to achieve their ends. That's their job. You backtrack just a few years back, you'll see they planned to take Iraq before the terrorist attack, and they were jumping on 9-1-1. What a perfect chance to implement the plans that they had drawn. Plain face, they swiftly led us into war. They used the victims' names to justify 100,000 more. It's economic. It's a long-term scheme. They've learned from years and years of practice how to get away clean, and there they go. No surprise to me, now the Iraqis have no water, but at least their market's free, and look, they voted. It was such a stepping stone. All the profit politicians are delighted here at home. It was a scam. Another Trojan horse, an election organized by the occupying force. How's that progress? They voted for their change. Just look at Afghanistan. They did to them the same. Coming home, they're trying to look ahead. Having been to war and back, they've seen the faces of the dead. They can't erase them. No, it's etched too deep. Now they're already being diagnosed with PTSD. Here are the heroes. No longer standing proud, awaiting refuge from the shelters, asking pennies from the crowd. They trusted politics. Now they're seeing what's in store. Once the victors, now the victims of the same exact war, just like before. Not that hard to see. It's a broken record war, repeating history, the same thing as in 1991, as in 1917. No war is ever won, we keep forgetting. These things you think we would have learned, some of the stories keep repeating, and the tables never turn. We sit by watching while the tragedies unfold. And that's the problem, we're afraid to take control, but we could.